Welcome to the Dating After Divorce podcast. I'm your host, Shade Curry, and I believe every divorced woman deserves a romantic relationship where she feels safe, loved, and cherished. You can create the most amazing life after divorce, and I will teach you how. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Dating After Divorce podcast. So this podcast episode is super, super, super duper special. It's different. We're not talking about dating today, but we're talking about everything connected with divorce and the fallout, not the fallout, the results of dating after a divorce. When you are successful at dating after a divorce, some of the work that still has to be done, like years into your after the divorce. So I have in the Zoom room with me my parenting coach, Rashida Bonds.
Yay! Hi!
Welcome, yeah. Rashida. Rashida is the most amazing human. You all just don't know. You don't know.
Thank you, Shade.
Rashida just has to be experienced. That's what I'm gonna say. Like she's a whole experience. So welcome. Thank you for being willing to do this. Thank you for coming on the podcast. So before I just talk for the next 10 minutes, please introduce yourself to the audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here and to talk to you and to your audience. So I'm a certified life and family coach, but I've been working like in the nonprofit world with specifically families for over 20 years. I work with the families and parents of LGBTQ plus youth. So that's really my sweet spot, but really anybody with kids, anyone who is a parent and is experiencing parenthood, I just have a really big heart for all parents. And so that is who I work with more often than not. Yeah. So that's it.
That's awesome. Which is so incredible because, all right, this is going to be a whole story. I don't know how many hours this podcast episode is going to be.
Buckled in, I'm ready.
Because I knew you worked with parents of LGBTQ plus children. Mm-hmm. But at the time that I hired you, I didn't know that I had a child who was gay.
That's literally what you said. You said, I know you work with parents of LGBTQ kids, and I don't think I have any LGBTQ plus kids. I was like, that's fine.
And I was like, but I think you're the right coach for me. Like, I just knew that you were the right coach for what I wanted to work on. Mm-hmm. So, which is hilarious because in the end of the story,
now you do.
Then I knew. Okay, so let's tell the story because otherwise we're just going to be doing all these inside jokes and laughs.
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, what are they talking about? All right, so I'm going to tell from my perspective, kind of like why I hired Rashida. So these are parts of my story, my divorce story that I really hadn't told just because one, not all of it was my story. And second, there's just a lot of unresolved threads. Like I just didn't know what angle to come at with the story. So my ex-husband and I have two biological children together. And then I had always wanted to adopt children, just always been on my list of things I'm going to do before I die, even as a teenager. And during the marriage, I moved forward with adopting children out of foster care. And he at that time didn't want to. And there's a whole story to what happened with him not wanting to adopt them. And even at the end of the adoption process, refusing to sign the adoption papers, but then sort of like doing this transactional thing where like, if you do this, then I'll sign the papers. It was a whole deal, but that's not the story we're telling today. Mm-hmm. Long story short of that is we adopted the sibling group of three, a girl and two boys out of foster care. Mm-hmm. And they lived with us. They had lived with us for a year. And then shortly after that, my ex and I separated. So of course there was a whole custody battle. Mm-hmm. That was a whole other podcast episode by itself. So So I won't tell that story of the custody battle today. But the end of that story was that I got custody of the older biological children and he got custody of the younger adopted children. Mm-hmm. And that was, gosh, so we separated in 2015. All five children were with me for close to a year.
Mm-hmm.
I would say sometime in 2016 is when, I would say late 2016 is when they all went to live with him, mid to late 2016, just give or mm-hmm. take. So basically we're talking 2016 to 2021 is 5 years.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was the state of affairs for 5 years. And
access to them was
not, he would not cooperate with,
yeah.
He would not cooperate with visits. He would not let me see them. He would call the cops when I went to try to see them at his place. Mm-hmm. He would not show up for the monthly visits. The interesting thing is that now that we're in this new court case to modify the divorce currently, the attorney asked me, well, do you have any proof of, you know, wanting access to them? I'm like, here are all these emails.
Yeah.
They're printing out all the emails. Here are all the emails that I send continually every month,
mm-hmm.
wanting my visits. And I guess at that time, I just didn't have the resources to like go back to court and fight. And mm-hmm. I know most of the divorced women who have divorced narcissists listening to this will know what happens when you're a woman trying to get the authorities to assist you with this, trying to get the cops to help you, trying to get the courts to help you. No. And then you add on top of it, I'm a woman of color. Mm-hmm. The cops were always more than happy to be like, yeah, you're causing trouble. So in the end, I just kind of left it alone. I was just like, obviously there's nothing I can do about this at this time.
Yeah.
And so I focused on what I could do, which was like, okay, I can recover from the divorce. I can recover financially, mm-hmm. recover emotionally, help the children I do have, which is always interesting. Our brains always want to focus on what we don't have.
Yep.
Versus focusing on what we do have. And I do know the moments where I was like, well, you can spend all of your energy fighting this, or you can really help the two children that are living with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really where I focused all of my energy, was in their education, their mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hired coaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
coaches don't take insurance. So I had coaches for my kids. They went to therapy. I insisted they went to therapy until it was kind of like, you know, that moment where you can't force your 17-year-old to do something anymore.
It's right.
Like, you know, but they got a good 3 to 4 years of therapy in there. So they, you know, we really trying to work with them on, you know, as best as I could for them to recover from everything that had happened. And so, and they're thriving, you know, the older two really were thriving.
Yeah.
But I also knew that while they were thriving in their own lives, there was still just a lot of stuff that we hadn't talked about.
Yeah.
You know, yep. So that was why I hired you. I was like, there's stuff. And I also was thinking at the time when the older two had gone off to college, getting ready to go off to college, I was like, well, I have some bandwidth now. I was thinking about filing for custody of the younger kids.
Yes. Yes. And we talked about, well, first of all, you know, your relationship with your older two children was basically like in transition. And it was in transition because they were moving from teenagers, just regular old teenagers living at home, going to high school, to young adults. And that is definitely an adjustment for parents in how we communicate, because we go from being completely in charge to sort of co-parenting them with themselves, right?
Like, yeah, and I don't know that they're fit parents yet.
Right? exactly. So you go from being like the resource to the safety net. And that is a really difficult transition for parents, because there's a letting go when you know, like when they're learning to ride a bike, you know, and you're letting go of the bike and you know they're about to fall. Like you just know it's about to happen and they're going to get skinned up and they're going to cry. And so you're like trying to prevent all of that stuff, but they're like, let go. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is the perfect analogy.
Yeah. And so that's a really, that is exactly where you were. You were in that transition period with both of your older two, mm-hmm. and they were giving you that let go energy, and you were giving them that, but you're gonna fall energy.
Right. Like, I want to let go, but can you like make good decisions? You don't sound like you're getting ready to make good decisions if I let go.
Yes. Yes.
You're literally telling me all the bad decisions you're about to make.
Because you set a great foundation where they felt comfortable enough telling you about all of the stuff that they were doing that they should not have been doing. So that's good in that case. But yeah, we just needed to figure out how to communicate now as mom and young adults versus mom and kids, right? And where they were and them actually learning too how to communicate with you what they needed and what they didn't need. Because that's something that I don't think they knew either. They didn't know what they needed from you and what they didn't need and how to communicate that with you. And so first you and I just talked, right?
About a lot of stuff. About my childhood stuff too.
Yeah, because that absolutely goes into how we parent. The way we were parented, for better or for worse, influences the way that we parent. And so we have to start with the way that we were parented and sort of sort that out and figure out how that informs our parenting. And so you did that work and it wasn't easy. And what I admire a lot about you and what I love about coaching coaches is that you don't come in here thinking it's going to be easy. Like, you know.
Oh my God. I knew. I mean, that's why I hadn't done it. I was like, this is not something I can just really nearly deal with. I knew I had to make space to deal with, because there was a period in there. We've worked together now about a year.
Yeah.
And there was an 8-week period where I felt anxiety 24/7.
Yeah.
Just bringing everything up, like everything, talking about all of it, my family, the stuff that was still going on in my extended family, communicating with the older kids, what had happened with the younger kids, because of course there was a whole lot of guilt and like regret and like just, you know, all of that. And then of course, even trying to think about what they might've been going through with my ex, because he's not a good person. Like, listen, don't write me any letters. I'll say whatever I want.
Yeah. This is your podcast. You can say what you want.
It is my podcast. We'll all be like, oh, you shouldn't say that about, like, listen, you go talk about your ex the way you want.
Okay.
Right. So I knew that they were having a really, because I was like, I know this man. He's not a good person. Mm-hmm. And so I can't imagine what they're going through over there. And it just felt like my hands were tied. So all of that emotion and all of that.
And so in feeling, so you had a sense of, you know, mother duty to your oldest two, but you had that same sense of duty to your younger three, and you were dealing with a lot of, I think, more than motivation, your over reaching emotion at that time was guilt. And parenting, whether it be from afar or they're right up in your face from guilt, is not healthy for anybody. And so we had to work through that guilty feeling. And just get you to a place where you could make decisions out of just pure love for the kids and not feeling bad about the way things were, because there's nothing we could do about the way things were. They just were that way.
Yeah. And I think I also got to the place, which was really interesting to me, because I wasn't expecting that, where I was like, oh, it's going to be okay. Like, either way, like, things are going to be fine. It's almost like things have continued to be fine. As much as I would wish for a lot of things to be different, like, things keep getting better. As long as I keep doing the work, there's really no reason for me to be like all tied up in knots that like,
yes,
it's going to be terrible.
My favorite thing, one of my favorite things that I watched you discover about yourself was that no matter the thing, no matter what came up, you realized that you didn't have to have a plan, because when it came up, you knew that you could handle it. And yeah. you just began to trust yourself that, because we all, I know that I really like to have plans. A, B, C, you know, we go yep. all the way down.
Plan A, B, C, like, D. And then like,
right. And I empathize very much with you when you were feeling that, but you had such a track record of handling stuff, and you had just taken the kids to school out of state, and you were talking about all of the things in that adventure that happened, and you just handled it. And it was just in your face examples of how you could handle things if they came up, and you just figured it out. And yeah. that I think helped you on your journey with feeling more content with the way things were, because you knew that however you knew one, that you would be reunited with your children in some point of your life.
Right.
And two, when it happened, you would figure it out.
Do you wonder exactly how divorced women just like you are meeting eligible men who want a real relationship and a commitment? They're doing it by dating with their core values. Your core values are the GPS that lead you to the partner you've been looking for. When you use your core values on dating apps, text messages, and at social events, you will easily connect with your true match partner without chasing, settling, or wasting time with non-committal men. I have taught exactly how to do this in the 2-hour Core Values Dating Blueprint course available on my website, shadecurry.com/dating. That's shadecurry.com/dating. You will learn exactly how to identify your core values and use them on your dating profile, how to ask the right questions via text, and how to tell the right stories on dates so that you attract the right people and repel those who aren't right for you. If you're ready to meet your true match, hop over to shadecurry.com/dating or click the link in the show notes. Now back to the episode.
Yes, I let go of the attachment that I needed to be reunited with them, like right now in their childhood, and be there for their education and do all the things that as a mother, I 100% wanted to do and had signed up to do. That was why I adopted them. I was like, yeah. I want this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but like, this is not the only space and time where I can have a relationship with them. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And maybe if God isn't letting it happen now, you know, then that's the way it is. And that's okay. I mean, keeping in mind, one of the things that I was discussing with you was I ready to go back to court to file for custody? Could I handle that? Is that something I wanted to do at all at this time?
Yeah.
Just knowing what had happened with the first court case and everything like that. But then it turns out I didn't even have to do that.
No, you were like, you know what? I'm at peace. I'm good. And whatever comes up, we'll figure it out. But right now, I'm good. And then
I get this call from Child Protective Services.
Oh, but wait, can I say one
before
thing?
That, okay.
Before that happened, you had been doing so much work with your communication of your older two. Like you were reading books, you were doing, you know, webinars. You were working and you were figuring out where you could be a better communicator with your older two. You figured out how to identify some of the mistakes that you made in your parenting. And
that was hard. That's always hard. Like just looking, nobody wants to
gut punch.
and then we did this thing, because I'm going to just brag on myself. We had a call.
Did it.
Where we let said kids come and talk. I was like, oh.
You were the most magical being on the planet that day to me, because I was like, you have to have some level of strength to be able to hear your kids tell you where you were short in your effort of parenting them. Because what we know as parents is that we wake up every day doing our very best, but yeah. also knowing that it may not ever be enough.
Right.
And here's
the thing. I had also experienced all of that guilt along the way.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it was 7 years of me parenting hard as a single mother,
mm-hmm.
going through a divorce, everything, parenting hard, trying to make sure everything was okay, knowing it wasn't okay, feeling yeah. all of that guilt the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then now having to come and say, okay, tell me about all the ways I went wrong.
Yes. But you know what, though? You showed up to that conversation with your own list of things that you knew, because you had been talking to them and you were able to pick out bits and pieces of what they were saying and sort of work through that stuff. Before we even got to that conversation, you had your own list. Like, I'm pretty sure this was bad and I meant to do this, but this is how it came out. And this is, you know, and you went through it and you had your own list, which I think impressed them so much, because kids grow up thinking, first of all, at their young age, that their parents are invincible. They're right. They're the strongest, smartest people on the planet. And then something happens toward middle school and high school where they're like, wait, no, you're not smart at all. You don't know anything. Right. And so they don't, but all throughout that journey, they really struggle to see their parents as human beings, as just flawed, but doing their very best out of love people, right? And I think in that conversation, for me, it was when my parents got divorced and they had to fall off of their pedestal that I saw them as people. Mm-hmm. But I think that for your children, them seeing you talk about your flaws, you, this mother who strives for them to achieve their very best and is always wanting them to do their best and as well as they can on this planet, make good decisions and be good people. And then you were able to vocalize your flaws. They were like, I felt their energy shift, like, oh, she's a person. She's a human being. Oh, I know how to talk to humans. Okay, this is gonna work out. But not only did you come with your list, but you listened to their lists like a champion. And you took those punches like a champion. I just wanted to love on you so hard for like a week afterwards. You're so special. You're so smart. You're such a good mom. Like, I just wanted to affirm and love on you for so many weeks after that, because I know that that could not have been anything but the hardest thing.
It was hard. Yeah, I'll say that. But I mean, but granted, here's the thing though, for anyone listening, this was after about 5 months of like coaching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I had gone, you know, I had worked with you through all of my own stuff, which I mean, I don't know if the analogy works, but it's like I had cleared out so much stuff that I had space.
Yeah.
Yeah. On like whatever it is they were going to tell me.
Yeah.
And I think this is the power of coaching and, you know, therapy too, in some ways, depending on what you're doing, can be really helpful for this. But I had done therapy, but I knew that I needed coaching. I needed something that helped me process what I was going through, but also take action, because I wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. I had like, you could say goals. I had goals that I wanted to achieve and things that I wanted to see be different mm-hmm. with my older kids.
Yep.
As well as I was thinking about what my goals would be with my younger kids. And so I chose coaching for this because I felt like I could do both, like just really talk about what's going on with me while taking action, while doing things and like really seeing shifts in the now, not later.
Yes. And you just really put in the work, and that paid off super hard. So it's the middle of the night and you get a text.
Yeah. Yeah. So that paid off really well with the kids. I think this was probably like really late 2021, about 5 months into our work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things were better. Like they were going to college. All of that was just kind of like happening. Mm-hmm. And we continued to work together because, so after we did like that initial work with the older kids, I was like, okay, I want to talk a little bit more about, I'm thinking about filing for custody. And I was thinking maybe 2022. So yes, I was thinking about, I was like, we were talking late 2021 and I was like, okay, maybe spring of 2022. Mm-hmm. You know, my younger, my second would be off to college and he'd be all settled in. So I wouldn't be so worried mm-hmm. about him and what's going on there. I'll have this sort of empty nester space and vibe. Yeah. And then I'm going to reach out and maybe go to court and file for my visits and everything. And then just like a week to Thanksgiving, I get this call about midnight from Child Protective Services saying that they had taken two of the younger kids, the youngest two, into custody because my ex-husband had been abusing them. One of the things, I mean, like it was just all the things, mm-hmm. all of the abuse. We won't go into all of that, but basically, when I got to juvenile court and they handed me the stack of the petition that the state made, mm-hmm. The list was so long and Child Protective Services had been trying to work with him mm-hmm. for years. Now, I'm going to just complain out loud in public that for whatever reason, which I know it was him telling them not to tell me about it. So, oh my God, I can't even go into the whole narcissistic abuse kind of thing. But the whole play was he was getting in trouble the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like there are records of everything that was being done. And the social workers, I'm sorry, I'm going to call you all out because this is your work. They were in there like saying, well, mom did this. I'm like, I wasn't even there.
Yeah.
How are you writing about me in your report when I wasn't even there?
Or allowed to be there.
Allowed to be there. Yeah. Why were you not giving me a call? You had my number and my address. You know, like, why weren't you giving me a call saying, hey, this is what's going on? No. And so between him and I feel a little bit for them because I know he's such a good manipulator and liar. And we call it the word salad that narcissists use. Narcissists will like talk around in circles for like hours. Mm-hmm. And so I can imagine the poor social worker sitting there and being talked in circles for hours by this man. So I get that. But I'm like, I'm sorry, this is your job. You get paid.
Yeah.
You get paid to fix this. So if you are getting paid, this is not what should be happening. And please don't tell me you're overworked and whatever, because you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Like you're not doing anybody any favors.
Right.
And you're overworked and not getting it done.
Right. They found you eventually. They could have found you earlier.
There you go. So when they didn't have, and what was crazy was they kept taking the kids back. Like literally the kids would run away. They would run away. Mm-hmm. The social workers would get them and they would keep taking them back. The police would keep taking them back over and over again until they couldn't.
Yeah.
So finally, they couldn't take them back. And that's when they called me. And I'm like, wait. So they knew that someone was probably going to die if they took them back.
Yeah.
And that's when they, so they, y'all waited until this moment to make a phone call.
That's it.
So anyway, that's my, if I sound bitter, yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. completely warranted.
Yeah. So anyway, so I got that call and, you know, went to court and that opened up the case. The boys came to live with us a couple of weeks after that, which was amazing. And it's incredible how amazing it's been. And of course, it started a whole new set of work. So we found out that one of them came out as gay to my ex-husband and has continually received physical, emotional, verbal abuse for it all this time. You know, and so I was just like, oh my God, it was like, I was led to hire Rashida.
Yes, and I was so excited. I was like, oh, yay!
Yeah. So, I mean, the work that we, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start with like the work we've been doing with the younger boys.
Well, I think it started with your older two because they were on board with them coming. And I think that's great because you didn't have the hurdle of dealing with any sort of emotional stuff from them. They were there ready to support and welcome them with open arms.
Yeah, so was my husband, which, and I will say this, I think one of the things that also helped was sort of, and maybe this will relate to dating. So for those who are thinking about dating, is we never had co-parenting problems. Like, We are a blended family and we're a blended family even before the younger kids came to live with us. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have co-parenting problems. Like, we were just, our family composition was just so similar. Mm-hmm. We both have a kid who's like a creative, introvert, kind of theater kind of kid. So we kind of had figured that out. Like, like if you came to my house before the younger boys came to live with us, everyone's just in their corner doing their creative work. Very like, I don't know. You know how like kids play side by side together?
Yes.
We were all really good at like playing really well side by side and enjoying playing side by side together.
Yeah.
And then coming together every once in a while to like do something together as a family, but not in overwhelming ways where we're trying to like put this fake. We didn't try to put this fake togetherness so that we could have this perfect picture thing out there. It was just like, it was, we were all really good at letting everyone just kind of be who they are.
Yeah.
And it helped that all of us were all kind of like the same kind of people.
Yeah.
So that was good. That was really, really good. And yeah, Kent was very much on board. I mean, he was really excited to have the boys. Still is.
Yeah.
Still is. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Sometimes I'm like, seriously, what's happening? Yeah. And so, I mean, the whole family welcomed them in, my in-laws, you know, it was,
I think it was beautiful that it was happening right around the holidays too, because it was just really an opportunity for the boys to feel loved and embraced. Yeah. And everyone just had the opportunity to love on them, and your older two got to come home from college and love on them, and your extended family, because of just how holidays work, you're around your extended family more often. And so they got to just see all of these people who they may not have been aware were in their lives and were loving them from afar. They got to experience that love concentrated 2 weeks after coming home.
Yeah.
It was boom, I'm in this puddle of love. So I think that was really great. That timing was gorgeous. It was
very powerful. It was amazing. And I think that kind of gave us like a soft landing into the work that then needed to the work that was coming. My ex had kept them out of school for 2.5 years, but was not schooling them at home or hiring a tutor for them or anything like that. So that was a challenge. They wanted to go to, you know, public school, and, you know, they were going to go because I was done with any kind of, I was like, listen, I was an empty nester 2 weeks ago. Y'all going to public school.
You got to be empty nester for like a whole month or something.
Like a whole month. And yeah, so that we've been, and so, I mean, a lot of it has, the work has been really just giving them what they need, learning what they need, their language, giving them what they need, and then not some of what they want, not everything that they want, because also, there was just so many extremes, they had experienced so many extremes over the last 5 years that it was like really bringing them back to like, okay, this is what normal life looks like.
Yeah.
This is what a normal family looks like, and getting them comfortable with that. Now learning to co-parent younger children with my husband. That was interesting. We've had a lot of conversations.
Yeah. And so I think that's really important, especially for your listeners who are you know, wanting to be remarried, especially if they have children from their previous relationship, that co-parenting with your new partner is going to be a challenge. And I mean, that doesn't mean it's going to be bad. It just means that it's going to be a challenge, because especially if they have their own children or they have an idea about parenting, which most people do have an idea about, you know, you have to sort of figure out what is going to work, not only for your chemistry as a couple, but what's going to be best for that child. And sometimes the thing that works best for the child isn't good for your chemistry as a couple, and vice versa.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to find that happy medium. And that is constant work.
Yeah, it is work. And this is work that takes time and energy. And this is where, like, having, like, imagine having to put in time and energy with the children, time and energy in conversations with your spouse. And then you're coming to all of this with, like, a lot of, like, thoughts.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, guilt, a lot of anger, resentment, whatever from the past. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. It's so much. And I can't even express to you. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so happy that all of this is happening while she's being coached, because I could not even imagine anyone having to go through all of the things.
It was insane. It was okay. So here are the boys. They both have PTSD. It is clear that they both have complex PTSD from everything that has happened. Mm-hmm. All the social workers and the CASA workers and all the juvenile officers are all like, we're going to like put our eyes on this case. I'm like, where were you 5 years ago? Now that they're here and I'm giving you access to them, now you want to police me with all of your energy because I am actually doing the work. Why didn't you like put in all that like work when they were being harmed? Mm-hmm. Hello? Like, I know you like your work to be easy, but this is not helpful.
Right? Yeah.
So there were all of those appointments, CASA workers wanting to come in and like, oh, I'm going to take him to the zoo. I'm like, this boy cannot do math at his grade level.
Right.
How about you take him to Starbucks and sit down and help him? How about that?
Get some flashcards.
Get some flashcards.
Let's do that.
That might be a little more helpful. Thanks, though. So, I mean, managing just the appointments that came with having the court case open. Mm-hmm. Having to open my own divorce modification case to fight for custody, because the child protective services, they were all more like, well, the kids are going to be in custody of the state. And that if I wanted custody of them, because he had custody in the earlier judgment, I needed to go file with family court for custody. I'm like, seriously? So now I had to go file, which I mean, I was happy to.
All the hurdles.
And then all the, you know, I know all of you listening know how that goes. Mm-hmm. The lawyer doesn't believe you. Or the other attorney is like a shark.
Yeah.
So while the other attorney is being a shark, your attorney is like, well, you know, we like comply. The judge is like, just bring me a case that I can sign off on. You know?
So all of that
is happening, right? This is all the external stuff.
Yes.
I'm having to catch up on 5 years of dental care, not a dental appointment in 5 years. Looking for therapists who are trauma-informed, who can help, psychiatrists who can help. Like, so there's that layer of everything outside with the authorities and the court system. There's me trying to get the kids the mental health care that they need and have needed and have not had. And they're in school. So that's like a whole full-time job. Y'all parents, you know, you all get 1,000 emails a day from these schools.
1,000.
Yes. So we know how that goes. So then there's managing that, then their transition. And see, this is just the logistics.
Yes.
This doesn't take into consideration the fact that these kids are like, you've just taken them out of one universe into another. They're dealing with like the transition. They're going through all of that. I want to make time to like help them and talk with them. And, you know, they're getting picked on at school because they're the new kid who doesn't quite fit in, who's socially awkward. Oh my God. So there's all of that. And then somewhere way back there, it's like, oh, I have a husband. My husband.
Yeah.
Is my-
yeah. And running a business. That's
fine. Yes. And running a business and coaching clients, helping them get husbands. So it's like, it was a lot. And I cannot imagine having had to do all of that without my coach. I had a couple, but you were the one who was, I was talking to about this, everything I've just listed. And while this is all happening, you know, the older kids are there. They still need their sense of family and to be supported, you know, in college and everything. It was just, looking back, even as I listed that, I'm like, dang.
Yes. And you, the thing is this, like, you had moments of like a human, you were a human being in some moments where you were like, I don't know, Rashida. I get that feeling.
I might get in my car and start driving.
Right.
That might happen.
I don't blame you. We're only like what, a couple states away. You come stay here. That's fine. But more than anything, what I admired so much is that you did just that thing that you realized you could do before all this happened. You figured it out. Yeah. And not only were the younger two dealing with the trauma from living with their father, but they're also dealing with the trauma that happened before you adopted them.
Yes. Yes. Right.
And so
And I think one of the things that made me really angry was this was the work that I wanted to do 5 years ago. I knew they came from, you know, trauma. They'd been, you know, they'd had their own initial family dysfunction that they dealt with. They had come into foster care. They had lived in foster care. Mm-hmm. And then they had been adopted. Each of those situations by itself is traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I knew that there was so much work that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was well aware of it. I wasn't as equipped and as educated as I am now, mm-hmm. but I knew there was a lot of work to be done. And I just look back and I'm like, dang, 5 years, he did not give them access to therapy, nothing. They were just in the house with him and with the television.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. So that was. And so it's, and that, and I know that that is work that they will probably be doing.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of their life, they'll probably be working on that stuff. But what's been amazing is how well they've engaged with the work and how much they've grown, especially this summer.
Yeah. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yes. And you were able this summer to see your family in full action, right? Like it was really nice over the holidays, but the younger two were still getting adjusted and the older two were still just like in their honeymoon with their younger siblings that they hadn't seen in a long time. And everybody was still honeymooning, right? And then the older two go back to school. Then it gets real at home where, you know, the honeymoon kind of fades a little bit. We're figuring out personalities. We're figuring out boundaries. All of that stuff is happening. And this summer, your older two are home.
Yep.
Kent is there.
Yeah.
And you're able to see what all of the work that you had done, that all of you had done, what it, the fruits of your labor. And
I was able to ask, and this is one of the things that you had taught me, was how to figure out what support
looks like
I needed and how to ask for it. And then one of the things I remember, this is probably one of the more powerful things that happened this summer, was when my older son came home. I was like, listen, your younger brothers just, I think they just want to kind of be like you. So just chill, like just make space. I really just asked him, I said, listen, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, but if you could make space to let them sort of tap into your strength and your health and your, my older son is like, so he's not laid back in a soft kind of laid back way. He's just very like, life is just going to be, everything's going to be all right kind of thing.
Yeah.
Life is chill and everyone should just do whatever makes them happy.
Yeah.
But he's also very no nonsense where he's like, he's very boundaried. Doesn't allow anyone to like come. He's like, listen, I want to enjoy whatever life brings me. So please don't bring anything in here.
Right.
He's just so good at that. And I was like,
good job, because you gave that to him. You gave him that language and the ability to make those boundaries. So good job.
Yeah. So I sort of asked him, I said, listen, just don't let, I guess, give them grace. Maybe I didn't use those words with him, but like, just allow them to be a little immature and childish around you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just their way of asking for connection with you. And he really, really showed up. I mean, he would drive them places. Yeah, I mean, he made fun of them the whole time.
Because he had to be a big brother.
Yeah, he would rag on them the whole time, but he like take them places, took the older one to the basketball court anytime he asked, anytime he wanted to. I mean, there was a point in the summer where one of the boys was like, he would dress exactly like Daniel. Like he would like, I'd be like, are you guys dressing alike? And Daniel would be like, yeah, he's my son for real. You know, he's like... And that was just so fun to see. And you really helped them. I could tell it really helped them mature socially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see someone who wasn't a parent, who wasn't giving them rules, and who really wasn't saying that much to them about anything.
Yeah.
It was just very present.
Yeah. And for their sister, they were able to like, talk about their feelings, and she's real good with that.
She's really good with the feelings.
She
yes,
is her mother's child.
Talk about the feelings. Take them shopping.
Yes,
shopping. You know, all the fashion, all the reality TV. Yes. Yeah, that bonding time was just really, really powerful. I'm really grateful for the summer. I would have loved a summer. And then our first full family vacation for like a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
With everyone, which is interesting because the kids had an amazing time and bonded with us. And then we, the parents, just had such a hard time parenting on vacation. Yeah. Like, yes. But it's interesting. And I know one of my coaches who sort of helps me with like organizing my thoughts and my general life coaching. She, Amelia Kennedy, by the way, I'm just going to drop her name.
Yeah.
He had said, if you're going on vacation, and she works with women, so she was like, don't see vacation with your family as vacation for you.
Mm-hmm.
It is a trip. So like, really lower your expectations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wish I had seen that post of hers before we went on vacation, because it made so much sense.
And it's actually extra work because now you're parenting outside of your regular boundaries. Like, you know, if your kid walks away, they're most likely in their room, or they're most likely, you know, doing this thing, and you don't have to have eyes on them or ask them where they're going because you're in a strange city with strange people that you don't know. Like, it's work. It's extra work. Mm-hmm. And kids don't know. They'll know if they ever decide to have children, but they don't understand that it's not fun for parents. Other cities, like, you may have moments of fun, but it's also a cute little amount of anxiety likes to come to.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just to sort of wrap up, I wanted to like sort of just distill some of the things that I think I've learned, or you think might be helpful for my audience. I know one for me is to say, hey, listen, this work never ends. I mean, I don't know, maybe it does end. It hasn't ended for me.
Yeah.
But I think there's always this like, okay, I'm going to heal now. And people think this healing is like this discrete thing. Okay, I'm going to heal for 1 year, and then I'm going to go date, and then everything's going to be okay. That has not been my experience. I have experienced continuous healing in my relationships, in my finances, in my business, you know, in my body. It's like ongoing. So while I did a whole lot of healing work before I got remarried, that healing work, and I think this is one of the things I really wanted to say in this call, was like, that healing work has continued.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the, I guess, the call, the episode where I talk about the fact that I have continued to work. I have continued to do this. So, this is divorce. We have extra work because of divorce, but I don't think this is unique to divorced women. Like we got to keep doing this work.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, as long as you're here, as long as you're on this planet, there's going to be work to be done. And yes, you have done a lot of work, and that's awesome because it's going to lend itself to the next amount of work that you have to do. And I think that all of the work that you did healing from your divorce and working through who you were and then who you are now, you know, and even who you were as a child through who you were as a marriage and how your childhood lends yourself to that particular marriage and who you wanted to be after all of that, right? Yeah. If you hadn't done all of that very hard but super meaningful work, the work that you did to be have a different, because you said you wanted something different, right? To have mm-hmm. that different relationship with your kids, yeah. that was hard, but you would never have been able to get to that work without the other work that you had done before. So yeah. no, it's always work. And especially if you have kids, you know, I think it was a gift to be able to sit next to my 88-year-old grandmother who was literally on her deathbed, and she had 15 kids, and watching her parent her 15 kids from her bed. And I was like, I literally said to her, lady, don't you want to just take a nap? And she was like, no, tell him to go da 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 da, and tell her, and have you eaten? And I'm like, why are you worried about what you, ma'am? She was parenting until the very end. And that was such a light for me. I was like, oh, I will never stop. Her children yeah. are in their 60s and 70s, and she is still telling them what to do. She is still telling yeah. them to eat. She's still making sure they're getting rest. And that is what it is. You're always going to be, and imagine trying to do parenting through the transition of teenager to adult. How about parenting senior citizens?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when you're parenting right. for your whole life. So there will always be something to learn. There will always right. be some growth for you.
And that's actually an opportunity. Because yes. for me, that understanding really was like, oh, the fact that I didn't have the last 5 years doesn't mean I don't get the rest of our lifetimes to like Absolutely. Put this whole thing together. And I can just keep building what I want. Yes, it didn't look like what I thought it would look like mm-hmm. in their childhood. Mm. But like when I look forward, there's more time ahead of us
yeah.
than behind us.
And when we did family coaching, Sade, I just want to just give you your flowers right here in front of everybody. When we did family coaching, your kids are so happy.
Yes. So for context, we did a family session with me and the older kids last year. And now mm-hmm. we've started this thing with all of us, yes. all the kids and both yes. parents in one session together.
And your kids are so happy, and they didn't have to put on because I was the only stranger in the group. They could have been absolutely like unhappy in front of me, and they would have said whatever,
oh.
you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The system teaches kids who come out of the system. Oh, whenever there's someone new, it's like, it's an opportunity for me to like, yeah. I mean, they were like, they will say exactly what they want to say. Yeah.
And they gave examples of how you and Kent have met and their older siblings have made home a, and I will use their exact words, comfortable, safe, and accepting space. And that is what keeps children on this planet. And so I just want to commend you for all of the work you've done the past year. Like, you are really a super mom. And I know you didn't feel like super mom, but that's what real life
super moms are. Still don't, but that's okay. Right.
But that's what real life super moms are. They come up against all the stuff and then they just make it work. And that's what you did. And you have 4 happy, healthy children in your house right now. So congrats.
Thank you. And I will say the 5th, who is still with my ex-husband for varying reasons, is mm-hmm. happier.
Yes. Because, like by proxy. Like
by proxy, because the minute the younger boys came to live with us, he had to keep up because now everyone was involved.
Yeah.
Right. And so in order to keep her there, he's had to do everything that we've done for the younger boys. So now she has a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now she gets to go out.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be in school this fall. like things that she did not have at that time, because all of them were sort of in this very isolated situation. Because now he's getting calls from the guardian ad litem wanting to speak to the kid and all the things.
Yes.
He's literally having to do as much as is in his power to do what I am doing with the kids here.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we'll be able to verify all of this, but he has said that they are both going to therapy, which that is always amazing in whatever context. So everything is better.
Yeah. Everything
is better for everybody.
And you did the work first. We didn't know. We had no idea.
I was still like, well, I don't know when I'll file, but I know in the future I will file.
Yeah.
I'm going to do all these things, maybe make enough money to go back to court.
Yes. And you were doing all the emotional work, all of the physical, like you were doing it all. And then it's like the universe was like, cool, I'm glad you're prepared because here it is.
I was like, this was different. It was not what I expected timing wise, but obviously there were powers at work that I had no idea about.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited. And I just really want to thank you. I want to thank you for the work that you did. You are such a safe, knowledgeable, expert space. You are the best hype woman for a mom. You are the best hype. Oh my gosh. Like it's just, and I feel comfortable telling you everything. Like sometimes I just would come to the calls and just vent for like a whole 45 minutes. Like I didn't feel like I had to like couch my feelings and show up proper, which, you know, I mean, of course, as humans, we do want to show up proper in most contexts. This is probably the realest episode.
Yeah.
It's you that I'm talking to. I'm definitely not going to be like, oh, I thought she was better than this. No,
this is real.
Really not
real life. Okay, this is real life, and it was an honor. I truly, this is not like me being fancy with words. It was truly an honor to be able to walk alongside you and watch you blossom into this version of yourself. This super confident. I know that like you just always knew. Once you realized that you could trust yourself, you knew. And sometimes I would be like, well, do you think? And you would be like, no, I'm gonna do this. And I was like, all right.
I did. Yeah. I mean, times when I'm like, I'm gonna take this child's phone away, I'm gonna throw it into the bottomless sea. I'd be like, yep, that's exactly what I'm gonna do.
Yes. And so it has just been, it really has been an honor to be here through this beautiful journey for the past year. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Rashida. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, listeners. I know we have talked like you guys weren't here. So hopefully you got something out of this. I believe you will. It's my story. So I know parts of it will resonate with some people. I do want to encourage anyone who is going through divorce, difficulty parenting, like you've got a kid you don't understand, you have situations you don't know how to figure out, your child has come out to you as gay, and you're like, I want to do the right thing, I want to be supportive, and whatever the thing is, you want to be the best parent for your kid, I encourage you to reach out to Rashida, like she's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been like one of the best, honestly, the best coaching journey I've been on. I've hired different coaches, but it's like, I've been able to be myself the most, I think, working with you. So that I really appreciate that. And I think that's what us moms need, because not a lot of places we can go to be that. So thank you.
Yes. Right. Thank you.
Tell the people where they can find you, if they want to connect with you, follow you, hire you. What's the best place to reach you? What are all your social media handles?
Okay. So I am on Instagram at I am Rashida Bonds. I'm just Rashida Bonds on Facebook. My website is coachrashidabonds.com. And if you want to email me, you can email me at Rashida. So that's Rashida at liberationlifecoach.com.
Awesome. All right. You all follow Rashida. All of these links will be in the show notes as well. Oh, this is such a good conversation. I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end. All right. Everyone, thank you so much for your time and attention. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening today. If you are ready to get married after divorce, I want to invite you to download my free 8-video training specifically designed to help divorced women date with ease and get married again. Head over to shadecurry.com to get started. That's SadeCurry.com. I'll see you inside.